Have you ever stopped to think about how your body, naturally makes crucial stuff like testosterone? And what actually happens when that whole process maybe goes a bit sideways?
It's a complex system, for sure.
Right. Well, today we're doing a deep dive into a really fascinating peptide. Some people call it the puberty peptide, and it plays this like surprisingly central role. It's called kisspeptin.
Ah, yes, kisspeptin. And it actually has a pretty fun origin story, too.
Oh, yeah. Tell us.
It was discovered in Hershey, Pennsylvania, named after Hershey's Kisses.
No way. That's brilliant. So, for this deep dive, where did we pull our info from?
We've synthesized insights from a whole stack of YouTube transcripts, actually. Channels like The Enhance Man, Ben Winnie, Peptide Insights, and Nordic Labs.
Okay, so a good range of sources.
Yeah, and together they give a really detailed picture of kisspeptin, how it works, the benefits, and also how lifestyle stuff really impacts it.
Gotcha. So our mission today is pretty clear then. Unpack how kisspeptin works, what it might do for you, and crucially, what practical steps you can actually take based on understanding this thing to optimize your own natural hormone production.
Exactly. It's all about understanding the levers.
And just quickly, this deep dive is brought to you by InfinityPeptide.com.
Okay, so where do we start? Probably the foundation, right? The hypothalamic pituitary gonadal axis,
Yeah.
the HPG axis.
Right, the HPG axis, that's like the command center for hormone production.
Pretty much. Think of it as the core pathway. Honestly, everything you've ever heard about boosting testosterone, diets, supplements, whatever, it all acts somewhere on this HPG axis.
Okay, that makes sense. It's the main highway. So where does kisspeptin fit in? Is it just like another stop along the road?
Well, that's what's so interesting. It's not just a stop. It's more like the central regulator, the very top of the tree, really.
The top, how so?
So you have these kisspeptin neurons, right? They're in the hypothalamus, and they control the release of another hormone, gonadotropin-releasing hormone, or GnRH.
Okay.
And the key thing is, it controls the pulsatile release. It's not just a steady drip, it's these precise bursts.
Yeah.
That rhythm is absolutely critical for the whole system to work properly.
Pulsatile release. Got it. So kisspeptin sets the beat, basically. Then what? What happens after GnRH gets released in these bursts?
Right, so GnRH gets the signal from kisspeptin, pulses out, and travels to the pituitary gland. Then the pituitary releases two other key hormones, luteinizing hormone LH and follicle stimulating hormone FSH.
LH and FSH. Okay, I've heard of those.
Yeah, they're crucial. LH then heads down to the Leydig cells in the testes.
And that's where testosterone comes from.
That's the trigger. LH tells the Leydig cells, make testosterone. Meanwhile, FSH is working alongside it, stimulating spermatogenesis, sperm production.
Wow. Okay, so kisspeptin really does kick the whole thing off. It's not just about puberty, then. It's fundamental for ongoing testosterone and fertility.
Absolutely fundamental, a trigger for both, which leads us nicely into its more direct effects, beyond just starting the cascade.
Yeah, let's get into the benefits. What does the research, or maybe even the anecdotal stuff from the sources, say it can actually do?
Well, the big one is testosterone increase, especially in men who are hypogonadal, meaning they have low levels. The research supports this, and some anecdotal reports we looked at suggest, maybe 20 to 50% increases in total testosterone.
20 to 50%, that's pretty significant. That could be life-changing for someone with really low T.
It absolutely could. We're talking potential shifts in energy, mood, maybe even body composition. It shows how tweaking one specific biological signal can have these big downstream effects.
Okay, but what about free testosterone? That's the stuff the body can actually use, right? Does it go up just as much?
That's a really good point. The increase in free T seems to be a bit more moderate, maybe around 20% in some reports.
Why the difference?
It likely comes down to sex hormone binding globulin, SHBG. It binds to testosterone, taking it out of free circulation.
Right, so more total T is made, but SHBG grabs more of it.
Sort of, yeah. But interestingly, the sources mention things like boron, vitamin D, maybe DHEA. They might help manage SHBG levels.
Ah, so you can potentially influence how much free T you get from the increase.
Potentially, yes. It's about the whole picture, not just production, but availability too.
Makes sense. And fertility. It's called the puberty peptide, so I assume it's big there.
Huge. It's heavily researched for fertility, actually. In men, it aids sperm production, like we said with FSH. In women, it's involved in estrogen production and ovulation.
Wow, so it really works across the board for reproductive hormones.
It does, yeah. Different outcomes, obviously, but the same starting point. And beyond that, the sources mention other things: enhanced sex drive, libido, maybe even muscle growth support, energy levels.
Okay, quite a list.
Yeah. and some intriguing mentions, maybe less studied but still noted, about potentially impacting orgasm strength, ejaculate volume, even things like a possible preventative role in some cancers, or helping with emotional processing because it acts in the brain too.
Fascinating. Okay, what about TRT? Testosterone replacement therapy. I've heard kisspeptin mentioned in that context. How does that work if someone's already taking testosterone?
Right. This is a really interesting application. Potentially, kisspeptin could be used alongside or maybe even instead of HCG in TRT protocols.
HCG, that's used to keep the testes working on TRT.
Exactly.
Right.
But HCG mainly mimics LH. Kisspeptin, remember, stimulates the release of both LH and FSH upstream.
Ah, so it's a more complete signal.
Potentially, yeah. The idea is it could help TRT patients better maintain their own testicular function, size, and crucially, fertility. Especially maybe for those using creams.
Why especially creams?
Although some sources suggest creams, while effective at raising T levels, might not provide the same direct testicular stimulation feedback as, say, injections. Kisspeptin could help bridge that gap.
So it's aiming for the best of both worlds, TRT benefits, but keeping the natural system online as much as possible.
That's the goal, yeah. Trying for a healthier TRT approach, maybe mitigating some long-term shutdown issues. There was even a mention in the sources about rodent models suggesting chronic HPG suppression might impact lifespan, so keeping it active could be important.
Wow, okay, that's definitely food for thought. So let's talk candidacy. Who is kisspeptin actually for? Who benefits most?
Based on the sources, the ideal candidates seem to be natural individuals, so not on TRT, who have diagnosed low LH and low testosterone.
So their signal from the pituitary is low, leading to low T?
Precisely. Kisspeptin aims to boost that initial signal. Also, it seems highly relevant for those already on TRT, like we just discussed, particularly those maybe on creams, trying to maintain that HPG axis function and fertility.
Okay. Are there people for whom it might not work so well?
Yeah, the sources generally agree it might have pretty limited success for people on really high-dose TRT.
Why is that?
Because at that point, their natural system is likely so suppressed, so shut down by the external hormones, that kisspeptin just can't override it. They're way outside the normal physiological range where these signals work effectively.
Right. The natural pathways are just offline. Makes sense. Okay, practical stuff. Dosing, cycling. What did the sources say?
The general research range seems to hover around 0.1 milligrams per kilogram of body weight. For most people, that works out to roughly 100 to 200 micrograms per injection.
Okay. And how often?
Could be daily or timed strategically, depending on the goal. As for cycling, common protocols mentioned were like 10 to 12 weeks on, then maybe 4 to 8 weeks off.
But not always cycled.
Right. Some sources noted continuous use, especially if the goal is ongoing testosterone support or fertility.
Gotcha. Any specific dosing advice for, say, TRT patients versus maybe bodybuilders using it for other reasons?
Yeah, there were some practical insights for TRT patients wanting to maintain function, maybe 100 to 200 micrograms, say, twice a week. If low libido is the main issue, maybe a bit higher or more frequent.
And bodybuilders,
yeah.
Often dealing with more suppression.
Right. They might use higher doses, maybe 100 to 300 micrograms daily or even twice daily if they're trying to combat more severe shutdown symptoms from other compounds.
Timing matters too, you said.
Absolutely. Depends on the goal. For a general T boost, morning administration makes sense. Kind of mimics the body's natural rhythm.
Which peaks in the morning.
Yeah. Exactly. But for fertility, especially if actively trying to conceive, the advice was pretty specific. Take it about 30 to 60 minutes before sex.
Why then?
Because the peak release of LH and FSH happens around 30 to 45 minutes after the dose. So you're timing the hormonal peak with the activity, maximizing potential fertility benefits.
Very targeted. Okay. Side effects. Anything major people need to be aware of?
The main practical things mentioned were pretty localized, you know, potential pain or irritation, maybe infection risk at the ejection site. But that's manageable with good technique.
Anything systemic, hormonal shifts.
Mm-hmm. There's a rare possibility, especially at really high doses, of maybe subtly altering other hormone balances. But the sources suggested this usually resolves if you stop taking it. Peptides tend to work with the body's systems more than completely overriding them, unlike, say, high-dose steroids.
Right. It's more about nudging the system.
Yeah.
Okay, this brings us to a really crucial point that came up again and again in the sources. Lifestyle. Even with a peptide like this, these other factors are huge.
Absolutely yeah. Massive. The sources were really clear on this. You could have the most perfect diet and exercise and supplements, but if these core lifestyle things are off, you're fighting an uphill battle with your hormones.
Like trying to tune an orchestra when the concert hall acoustics are terrible.
Exactly. Let's start with energy balance and leptin signaling. Leptin comes from fat tissue, right?
Uh-huh. Signals energy stores.
Right. It tells the brain how much energy is available. And kisspeptin neurons are directly influenced by this leptin signal.
So if the body thinks there isn't enough energy, it dials down reproduction and hormone production.
Precisely. That's why maintaining a healthy body fat percentage, the sources suggest aiming for maybe 10-15% for men, is key for good leptin sensitivity.
Sensitivity, not just levels.
Right. Yeah, being very underweight means low leptin, signaling energy crisis. Being obese often means high leptin, but the brain becomes resistant, doesn't hear the signal properly. Both scenarios mess up testosterone production.
So what's the actionable diet advice then?
Keep energy intake reasonable. If losing fat, aim for a small deficit, maybe 10-20% below maintenance, to avoid triggering stress signals. Get enough protein. GnRH itself is a peptide, needs amino acids, micronutrients, fiber. Especially fiber if dealing with obesity.
Any timing tips?
One specific one was avoiding really large meals close to bedtime, and maintaining insulin sensitivity is also key low glycemic foods. Fiber, minimal refined carbs, maybe intermittent fasting. Nutrients like magnesium, chromium, maybe berberine can help too.
Wow, it really is all connected. Okay, what about sleep and light? We know they're important for energy, but the kisspeptin link.
It's direct. Your circadian rhythm, the body's master clock, controls kisspeptin neurons. And what sets the circadian rhythm? Light exposure.
So messed up sleep and light exposure equals messed up kisspeptin.
Pretty much. If your sleep is all over the place, or you're staring at bright blue screens late at night instead of getting natural sunlight, your internal clock gets confused. And that directly disrupts kisspeptin signaling and consequently testosterone production.
Okay, how do we fix it? How do we sync that clock?
It's about mimicking natural light cycles. Get sunlight in your eyes and ideally on your skin first thing in the morning, within an hour of waking if possible.
Morning sun. Yeah.
And do the same around sunset. Then at night, be really strict about limiting artificial light, especially bright blue light. Blue blocking glasses are great. Dim red lights, even candles.
And sleep consistency.
Crucial. Yeah. Same bedtime, same wake time, even on weekends as much as possible. Dark, cool, quiet bedroom. Basic sleep hygiene, but it matters hugely here.
Anything else that helps sync the rhythm?
Yeah, consistent meal timing and exercise timing. They act as other external cues or Zeitgebers, reinforcing the clock. Mm. And the usual suspects. Limit caffeine after midday. Go easy on the alcohol.
Okay, so general light sets the main clock. But the sources mention something even more specific, right? UVB light. Midday sun.
Yes. This was fascinating. UVB light, the kind you get from midday sun when it's high in the sky, hitting your skin and eyes, stimulates the production of something called alpha MSH.
Alpha MSH. What's that?
It's a hormone involved in things like skin tanning and appetite regulation. But importantly here, alpha MSH can also stimulate kisspeptin neurons.
So midday sun exposure boosts kisspeptin via alpha MSH.
Yeah, that's the connection the source has made. So the advice is get some direct sun, skin and eyes around midday when the sun's over 30 degrees angle, usually summer months.
Without sunscreen or sunglasses for that period.
Correct, for the stimulation to happen. Obviously, be careful, don't burn, don't stare at the sun, but aim for some unfiltered exposure.
Very specific, very interesting. Okay, what about stress? And other hormones interacting here?
Stress is a big one. Chronically high cortisol, the main stress hormone, just messes up almost every system, including GnRH release and the whole HPG axis. So managing stress is non-negotiable.
And feedback loops. How does the body regulate itself?
Good question. There's negative feedback. High levels of testosterone itself, or estrogen, or even GnRH, signal back to inhibit kisspeptin. It prevents overproduction.
Like a thermostat, like you said earlier. If the room's hot, the heater turns off.
Exactly. That's why taking high doses of external hormones, like steroids, shuts down your natural production. The body thinks there's already plenty.
Okay. Any other hormones we need to watch? Prolactin, estrogen.
Yep. High prolactin can inhibit kisspeptin. Sources mention things like vitamin B6, specifically P5P, stress reduction, optimizing dopamine might help lower it.
And estrogen, always a concern for men aiming for optimal T.
Right. High estrogen can also disrupt GnRH signaling. The advice there was pretty consistent. Lower body fat, avoid endocrine disruptors, plastics, pesticides, eat natural aromatase inhibitors.
Like what?
Cruciferous veggies, broccoli, cauliflower, Supplements like Crescent or Resveratrol were mentioned. Improving liver function helps clear estrogen. And again, avoiding excessive alcohol is key.
Man, it really covers everything. Physical activity. And I think there was something about social factors, too.
Yeah, exercise is generally great. Strength training a few times a week, some cardio, good for energy balance, insulin sensitivity, all that. But the key warning was overtraining.
Too much can be bad.
Yes. Overtraining can create an energy deficit state, which suppresses reproductive function. You see it sometimes in elite female athletes with amenorrhea. The body prioritizes survival over reproduction.
Right. And the social status thing, that sounded wild.
It is interesting. Some research suggests that increases in social status or dominance, think of promotion at work, winning a competition, can actually lead to higher GnRH levels.
Seriously? So your social environment can literally change your hormone baseline.
Potentially, yeah. It's a fascinating link between psychology, sociology, and biology.
Definitely something different to think about. Okay, so we have the peptide, we have the crucial lifestyle stuff. What about stacking? Other peptides or supplements that work well with kisspeptin?
The sources mentioned a few potential stacks depending on the goal. For growth hormone synergy, maybe tesamorelin or epamorelin. For sexual function, PT-141.
Muscle building.
Maybe IGF-1 LR3 or PEG-MGF. And for fertility specifically, things like HMG, HCG, or gonadotropin were listed as potential companions. There was also testogen mentioned, a bioregulator aimed directly at testicular health.
Okay. And non-peptide supplements. What were the standouts?
A real mix. General testosterone boosters, both herbal and animal-based. Vitamin D, definitely with K2. DIM for estrogen modulation. Boron, DHEA. Zinc oysters got a specific shout-out for zinc.
Any foods?
Ginger, onion, garlic, saffron were mentioned. Also, D-aspartic acid and ashwagandha came up frequently.
And finally, there were those, let's call them unique lifestyle tools for testicular health.
Huh. Yeah, some less conventional ones. Semen retention was mentioned. Icing the testicles, the theory being about blood flow and maybe local T production. Red light therapy applied directly there. And even magnesium lotion on the testicles for absorption.
All focused specifically on the testes.
Right. Direct local support strategies.
Okay. We have covered a ton of ground. Let's try and synthesize this. What's the final verdict on kisspeptin based on these sources? The main pros?
The biggest pro is definitely its position. It starts the sex hormone loop right at the top. It's foundational.
Controls the controller, essentially.
Exactly. Another pro, it works in both males and females, influencing their respective hormones. And the synergy with hormone replacement therapy, particularly TRT, is a major potential advantage, helping preserve natural function and fertility. That's a big deal for people on long-term TRT.
Okay, sounds really positive on those fronts.
Right.
What about the downsides, the major cons highlighted?
The main one, echoed across the sources, is simply that it's still fairly new. We just don't have decades of data.
So long-term effects and safety are still being established.
Right. The sources kept saying, we still don't know much about it in the grand scheme. While promising, there's a definite need for more robust, long-term human research to get really concrete answers on efficacy and potential unforeseen impacts down the line.
So a promising tool, especially for TRT optimization and maybe fertility, but still early days in terms of understanding its full profile.
That sums it up well. It represents a potentially more nuanced way to influence hormones, regulating rather than just replacing. But caution and more research are needed.
Absolutely. This deep dive really hammered home that kisspeptin is this foundational piece in the hormone puzzle, but also that its function is just so deeply tied into everything else, our lifestyle, our environment.
It truly underscores how interconnected it all is. You can't really isolate one part without considering the whole system.
Which leads us to a final thought for everyone listening. Given kisspeptin's role as this master conductor, this central regulator, influenced by so many basic lifestyle factors, how might focusing on optimizing those core signals, your body's natural rhythms, your energy balance through diet, light, stress, how might that be a more sustainable, maybe even more powerful approach to long-term hormonal health than always reaching for an external fix?
And beyond the obvious things like sleep and diet, what other, maybe seemingly unrelated daily habits or environmental inputs might be subtly tuning or detuning this incredibly delicate kisspeptin system day in and day out?
Definitely something to chew on. This deep dive has been brought to you by InfinityPeptide.com.